You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 30th of September, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As usual, I'm joined today by Mr. Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. But we are actually recording this, pre-recording this, before our usual live edition goes out on Friday. So unfortunately, we don't have Messerschmitt with us today, but hopefully we'll have him back next week. So Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Yourself, Sven?
Yeah, pretty good. I know you wanted to discuss some of the issues that were brought up with this Trump debate. I must admit, I've been rushed off my feet this week. I've been trying to provide all the content for next week and providing content for other shows, doing all the sound editing, and I just haven't had the time to watch the full debate. I've caught clips of it on the news. I've seen the way that the BBC have treated it. The way that they've had a really balanced debate on the BBC. They've had Clinton supporters on there and undecided voters. They haven't had one Trump supporter on there yet on all their discussions about it. I mean, it's just incredible. And yet when you look at the polls, they say that 70% of Britain supports Trump. So once again, they're promoting the exact opposite of what public opinion actually is. But I know that you've watched the whole debate, and I know that you've got some things that you'd like to let the listeners know, your insights on what you think about it. So perhaps you'd like to begin by just giving us your an overview of what you thought of it.
Well, as far as an overview goes, I think the problem was for Trump was that I think he was badly advised, to be honest. All I could hear before the build-up was he has to be more presidential, and he can't really attack her, and all the things that got him to this point, what he'd done before, they advised him, I think, not to do, because certainly that looked the situation. You've got to look at Clinton. You've got to, you know, that's one slippery snake of a politician. That's been a politician for over 30 years. And obviously, Trump has only been one for just about 6 months. So he's going into her backyard, but to go in on the back foot as he did was always going to be a problem. I know a lot of people feel that she did win the debate, and that's the impression that I got. But it's not anything that she did, you know, in such an incredible way. It was just the fact that she was a politician answering in a slippery snake of a politician way, and put him on the back foot, and he tended to spend more time defending what she was accusing him of than actually attacking her, which is what he's always done. I never heard that phrase once, crooked Hillary Clinton. It was always the respectful Secretary of State Clinton. Where that's not Trump, and that's not his, you know, I know he's supposed to be going for voters who were actually sitting on the fence, but that tactic for me didn't work.
Well, one of the things that I noticed was it wasn't just Hillary Clinton that was against him, but the actual producers of the debate pulled a few sneaky tricks. And one of the first things I noticed was...
You mean
was
the guy who was interviewing me?
Well, no, the producers of the show. I mean, the first thing that I noticed was that I could hear all of his sniffing and breathing, but I couldn't hear hers at all. And then if you looked at the microphone, the actual distance the microphone was from him, it was at a completely different distance and angle to the one that was to Clinton. Clinton had it quite close up. His was quite far away. So they'd obviously altered the audio settings so that basically it picked up his breathing in between every time he speaks. And that can be quite annoying. So straight away, they've added something to his voice to make his voice seem more annoying than hers. That was the first thing that I noticed. So it's obviously not just Donald Trump debating against Hillary Clinton. It's Donald Trump debating against Hillary Clinton and the moderator. The moderator is obviously on Clinton's side. He's on the media's side. He's part of the media. And looking through the reports afterwards, they were saying that he was interrupted and questioned so many more times than she was. About 40 times, I think, he was interrupted and re-questioned. And she was only questioned about 6 times, I think, from what I saw.
That's true. I mean, at the end of the day, to me, it felt like she were counter-punching. She'd go in and then wait for Trump's reaction and then keep him on the back foot as long as she could. I mean, we can go through all the issues as well, obviously, but that's just the feeling I got that for her, for example, to try and pin him down on him not revealing his tax returns, for somebody who's, probably one of the most corrupted politicians America's ever known, even without the 30,000 deleted emails, it didn't seem right that, that he has to then spend the next 3 or 4 minutes trying to defend himself.
This is something I really don't understand, Dennis, to be honest. I mean, why are they making so much fuss about his tax returns?
Well, I totally agree. In fact, he said at one point, that's just being smart. Which it is. I mean, if a business, that's why they get accountants. If a businessman can get a good accountant, he will pay that money to that accountant, good money to that accountant, so he can keep his tax down. It's just, it's just good business. But she would, again, putting him on the spot, and rather than him attacking her straight back with, all the corruption she has, he spent 3 or 4 minutes, defending why he shouldn't. Or when he will release them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody tries to pay the least amount of tax possible. And if you're working for a company, then unfortunately they just deduct it straight from source. But if you run your own businesses, then you look at your expenses and you do everything that you can to legally within the law to pay the least amount of tax. That's what all those expenses bits and the technical legal jargon is for, and that's why you hire an accountant. So it's ridiculous to be questioning him on his tax returns. And this is something that I notice the left do. They always try to deflect attention from the real issues by saying, well, we can solve it all by putting taxes up. We want to tax the rich more. And it's all just based on jealousy. It's based on saying to people, look, these people have got a lot more than you. Why don't you just take it from them? And whether you're rich or poor, you don't want people to be taking money from you, especially not when you see where it goes. Especially in America.
Well, like he said, it's squandered.
Yeah, it all goes on other races in America.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what she's going to do, isn't it? I mean, she's going to let them all in, without a doubt. I'm just looking at on the economy. He said he wanted to cut corporate tax for the rich. And he wants to simplify the tax bracket. And he believes, and I'm quite with him on this, that if the businesses are given a fair tax rate, they'll come back to America and then they will create jobs. I do believe that's right. But she was totally against that. She was after taxing the rich even more. And his argument was, well, they're just going to keep away and tech jobs abroad, which they will.
Well, it's this corporation tax as well. This is another thing that they like to push. Well, we want to get the corporations paying an extra percentage tax or an extra 5% tax. Well, where do they think the corporations are going to get that from? They're just going to put their prices up by 1% or 5%. So the people are blind that think that it's going to save them money if they put more tax on the corporations, as well as driving them abroad to places where they don't have to pay so much tax. I mean, Donald Trump's saying that he wants to bring the tax down to 15%, which is a good idea. I mean, the center, one of the centers of the financial world is Hong Kong, and they have a flat basic rate of tax of 10%. That's it. Doesn't matter if rich or poor, 10%.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're a financial center of the world. I mean, look at, everybody wants to go there and do business. There's no unemployment over there. So the lower, really, you should just have an equal amount of tax for everyone to pay, 10%, and it wants to go just to your own people. Otherwise, you're going to resent giving it away. It's taken away from one race to give to another race, isn't it?
Well, this is an example when he was on the back foot, because he's saying, you know, he wants to lower the tax on the rich so they'll bring jobs back into America. It's worthwhile for them to set up businesses in America. And she's on about increasing taxes for over 5 million for everybody. So, you know, she should have been on the back foot there, because she's going to take money off everybody. So, you know, but like I say, spent time arguing the fact that he believes that jobs need to be brought back, which they do, but she tended to, like, you know, looked in the camera and said to those people watching, you know, type of thing, he wants to give money to the rich, which, you know, as
it's
a slimy
to the rich, isn't
politician,
it?
She will do.
Hey, you, if you've got people with money that are industrial people, that are captains of industry, that are going to set up industrial centres, factories, work, you know, places where people can work, then you want them to have money. You want people like Henry Ford, like they used to have in America. I mean, look at the way he looked after his workers. And he was a rich man, and he set up the Ford motor car, and he really pioneered the way in looking after his workers. It's like, look at Hitler, full employment. And the way that the workers were treated by these rich people, the rich capitalists that invested in the industry, they also invested in leisure boats to take them abroad. And they brought in the first Clean Air Act to make sure that the factory workers had clean air. You know, you can't just say, well, you don't want to be giving the rich people more money. It depends what sort of rich people they are. You know, I mean, originally we used to have real philanthropists that used to, people who had more money than others, they were obliged to help out the poor. It was called noblesse oblige. And if you had that position in society, you were expected to look after the less well-off in society, because it was seen as by God's will that you had had the good fortune to have to be born into the upper classes. And your role in life was to look out for the upper classes. And the absolute champion of this was the king. The king was always the champion of the poor. And it was always the upper classes that would try to, or the bankers, really, that would try to take that power away from the king. But the king always looked out for the poor people. Now, you hear these tales of the king dressing in the poor man's clothes to live among the poor, so he could see what life was like for them.
It doesn't apply to today, does it?
No. Well, it doesn't apply at all today. I don't think it's applied ever since we executed the king. We executed Charles the First, I think it was, and we executed him. But he was the poor. He was the hero of the poor. The poor really loved him. And Oliver Cromwell went and had him executed. I've seen some of the things he's written. He was a really, really good man. He was a good king. And yet we're told he was a bad guy, and we had to chop his head off and institute democracy. Rule of the mob.
Well, that just reminds me of the floods in Cornwall a couple of years back. And the Duchy of Cornwall, obviously, is Prince Charles, and I think it was something like 30 million a year. And I smiled when he gave a donation of £20,000 to the flood victims, which wouldn't have gone anywhere, to be honest. But that's another subject altogether.
Well, I think the monarchies have become corrupted. I don't think we can go back to a monarchy. What we need to do is find these decent people with really good characters among our people, and they need to be leading our people. And that's what fascism is. I think it's like a monarchy, but without it being passed down through the blood, because the bloodlines have all become corrupted. You know, our nobles have all become intermingled with Jews, basically, and our aristocracy has been pulled down by that. There's very few pure aristocratic people left nowadays, thanks to this intermingling with the Jews.
If I could take it, that point now up on the foreign policy now with Trump and Clinton, obviously he's not happy with the Iran deal. She did support it, but on ISIS, I mean, it's publicly known that, you know, Clinton and Obama and the rest have all been influencing ISIS, either by direct funding, or their allies funding them, or just the fact that they left a vacuum in Iraq for ISIS to grow. Clinton is, you know, stands guilty of forming this nightmare of a Muslim war, what's going on across Middle East with ISIS cutting heads off. But again, she kind of, you know, he was going in without the gloves on. Sorry, he's going in with the gloves on. He should have took the gloves off at some point. And I'm hoping he does in the next two debates. But I mean, how does Clinton get away with, you know, the fact that, you know, she's been questioned on ISIS and it's not even ruffled her?
Well, just this week, it's been revealed that Jabhat al-Nusra are being funded by America. They've had American weapons inspectors over there teaching them how to use the weapons. They've had top-of-the-range American weapons delivered to them by America's allies, Saudi Arabia, Qatar. And this is an interview on RT. I mean, I said this the other day. Did the American administration just not watch RT? Does John Kerry not watch the news reports on RT, where they interview members of these terrorist groups and they say that they're getting help from America? And this is a specifically named terrorist group, al-Nusra, and they're saying that that's where they're getting their weapons from. Al-Nusra allied with ISIS. We would have no ISIS if they hadn't taken out Colonel Gaddafi.
Exactly.
It was all the people that took out Colonel Gaddafi that got given all these weapons that then moved off over into Syria to go and take out Bashar al-Assad. And then were joined over there by the previous people that we've been fighting against in Iraq, all the army generals that had been fighting under Saddam Hussein when they took him
that's
out.
That's right. Yeah, that's
a lot
right.
of people from there as well.
They took some cities in Iraq and made a kind of a base there. But it also brought the question of Putin up as well, and she was obviously not happy with Putin allegedly hacking into the emails. But that's never been proven. Not even the FBI have come out and said it was Russia, and he did challenge her on that. But again, you know, how can she stand there and accuse Trump of supporting Putin who hacks into emails when she's just deleted 30,000?
Yeah, how could Russia hack into emails if she'd actually kept them on the proper server? She kept them on her private server, knowing that she could delete them at any time, knowing that those emails should have been made public in 20 years' time or whatever the time limit is. All the information from from previous administrations is made public. There's a certain limit of time, and then they have to make them all public. And she's deleted 33,000 of them.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, she apologised, but at that point, as soon as she apologised, what he should have done, Trump, he should have jumped in and said, "You're not fit to be president." Somebody who is doing things like, you know, putting top secret emails on a private server and getting them out is incompetent, and incompetence doesn't go with the presidency. But no, she got away with it.
No, this information, like, remember when they went into the Russian archives and they discovered that actually, yes, the Russians were responsible for the massacre in the Kachin forest of all the Polish. This was 50 years later, because after 50 years, you can go into the archives and look at what was kept secret. Yeah. They can't do that with Clinton now in 50 years. No. That cannot be done.
Yeah. I mean, she should be in court, never mind. Never mind on a podium trying to be president.
That is deliberate, isn't it? It's not, you know, oh, I mistakenly deleted the emails.
Yeah, she knew they were public property. She got them all deleted.
And if they hadn't been on her private server anyway, then how could so-called Russia have hacked into them? She's just saying Russia because she wants to start a war with Russia.
Well, sure she does. Yeah, I mean that's the problem. With Clinton, you know exactly where she stands. You've seen her in action on TV debates talking about bombing Iran. You've seen her in Libya. We saw he died. Just all this kind of rhetoric, and she's out to. I don't know. She's certainly a lapdog of the Rothschilds, and wants to prove herself in being so.
Well, she's riding there with the bankers, isn't she? Taking their money so that she can give her speeches, doing favours for all the people that have contributed to her so-called charity. And it's a very epitome of corruption when you really look into it. and you look into it, the way that she behaves. I mean, we don't really know much about it over here in Britain, but it's been a big thing in America for the last 30 years. Has been the Clintons,
track records, really.
All the scandals that have followed her around.
Murders.
I mean, she's really unelectable. I mean, besides that, yeah. She's just absolutely hideous. Every time I hear the sound of her voice, it's just horrific. It's like nails on a blackboard. I don't think I could stand it if she was made president, hearing that every day. Hideous. Hideous creature. And don't forget, she has the luck of the devil as well. Don't forget, she won 6 coin tosses in one of those elections a while back.
She got Lucifer on her side, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the devil's choice. That's the devil's choice, Clinton. And then you've got the creator's choice, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, like I said, you've got 2 more on your base to swing it around. But I know where they were trying to come from. Like, you know, I mean, to be seen to be attacking a lady on TV and all this. But that's what's got in there, you know. Crooked Hillary Clinton, that's what got in there.
Well, she is crooked. I mean, that name is sticking with her. I mean, from what I saw, I watched probably about the first half hour of it, and he looked like he was doing really well.
He was. I mean, in the beginning, he was. But it's just how he has to defend himself for no reason, really. I mean, you know, so what? He hasn't published his tax returns. That's nothing compared to what she's done. Nothing.
Well, what else were the subjects that they brought up during the debate?
Well, immigration, obviously, we won. Obviously, we know Trump's view on that. He wants to build a wall. She didn't exactly come out and say it, but she pledged to welcome Syrian refugees and, you know, allow refugees and asylum seekers a fair chance, you know, to tell the stories and make, you know, believe that they're really, you know, escaping a war and just let them all in, basically.
I've been thinking about this. This has got to be the most hurtful thing that they've actually done against Bashar al-Assad in Syria. I mean, the wealth is all in the people of a nation, isn't it? That's the real wealth, is in the actual people themselves. And they haven't managed to topple him by blasting him with bombs. So now what they're doing is enticing his people to leave Syria and move into our countries.
Yeah,
stealing the man's children away from him. They're trying to steal his children away from him. You know, that's the way that you can look at it. And you can see this because when they show these adverts with these quote unquote refugees in them, they're all saying, look, they've learnt the alphabet. Look, they've learnt English. Look how they're fitting in as new Canadians or new Germans. It's like, we've just taken them away from you. They're no longer Syrians. They're new Germans, new Swiss, new Swedes.
Exactly.
Can you imagine if that was being done to us?
Well, they use them as an excuse as well. You know, they call them all Syrian refugees, and they're not all Syrian refugees. They're all, you know, Somalians have nothing to do with Syria or that war, you know, or the Afghans coming in as well. But they use that Syrian refugee as a, you know, for these left-wingers who take pity on the victims of this war and want to let everybody in, and that's how they work it. And certainly America's going to feel, if Trump doesn't get in, they will feel a host of Muslims coming into America.
There are already hordes moving in there. They're already setting aside areas for them and moving large swathes of them in there without checking them out at all. And on top of that, you've also got the invasion from South America, again, which they're not checking them out. They're not checking out who they are. They have no idea who they are. Just like the Muslims that come into Europe, they throw their passports away and claim to be children. I mean, the amount of times I've seen pictures and they're saying, well, this is such and such a child, and it's a 25-year-old man. It's incredible. There's pictures of one of these running. And, of course, he's beating all the kids in his class. And that's because he's a decade older than them.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, like I read a bit on what's going on in the EU. I think Croatia is now is not admitting any more refugees. Hungary certainly isn't. I think Bulgaria certainly isn't. The fence gone up there on both the borders. And so there's a few countries now refusing now to take any more. I mean, that's not going to stop them coming in because they're obviously coming in through Greece France and Italy, but at least there's some countries now getting a bit wiser to it all.
Well, it seems to be the countries that have been underneath Muslim rule before, and they know what it's like. But just go back to the children thing.
I mean,
I've seen reports where they've said five children have been killed by this bomb. Five children aged 15 to 20.
Yeah.
Children aged 15 to 20. You know, this is the sort of twisted reporting that they're giving us.
Well, what went on this week was, for the first time, there was calls for Putin to be done as a war criminal. And this is now, you know, to me, it's like getting the nation ready. Be prepared now, because we're going to really go to town on Putin. He's the criminal. He's the one who's bombing all these civilians. And, you know, that's laying the foundations for a war at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Well, this is the issue, isn't it? I mean, he's not bombing civilians, is he? I mean, Syria has been invaded by a proxy army made up of Muslims from all over the world. And Bashar al-Assad has rightfully pointed out that these are terrorists. They're trying to achieve a political aim, and they're using violence to do it. And the state has a monopoly on the violence. Yeah. If this was happening in any other country, that they would be condemned as terrorists. And Syria is allied with Russia, and Bashar al-Assad has asked Putin to come in and help him defeat the terrorists. He hasn't asked America to come in there. He hasn't asked the EU to come in there. He hasn't asked Britain to go in there bombing them, or Israel, that seems to fly in there any time it likes and take pot shots at whatever target it likes. Anywhere else, that would be an act of war. But because it's Israel that just flies in there and bombs an army base here or a university there, that's perfectly fine. But that's an act of war, isn't it?
That's Israel to a T, isn't it?
These acts, and it's the same with America. America going over there and bombing them, it is an act of war. Especially when you have a ceasefire. You have a ceasefire, like we were discussing last week. They call for a ceasefire, and on the first day of the ceasefire, America goes in there with four airplanes, bombs the hell out of the army base, and ISIS file in straight away afterwards, showing that they've obviously been given the coordinates and told what was going to happen. And I really don't think that this coalition against Bashar al-Assad has any credibility anymore.
Well, it hasn't, because, I mean, like, they're complaining when Assad and Putin are wiping out these rebels. And America's obviously complaining, UK's complaining, because they were funding them to start with. So it can't possibly work. You know, I mean, I suppose Putin realises this, and he's just got his head down and just ploughs on. But like I said, there's calls for him being called up as a war criminal and tried in The Hague this week.
I don't think ever before has so much been riding on who it is that actually gets voted in as president. They are poles apart, aren't they?
Without a doubt. I mean, we don't know 100% what Trump will do if he got in. But if he says if he does half as what he says, is if that's going to be a huge improvement on what Clinton, who we know will just continue with the same policies, if not rack them up.
I mean, before, whatever change of president has just really affected what's going on in America. But you think of what could happen. You know, if Trump gets in, then it could be peace with Russia. They could take out ISIS. ISIS could be dealt with within a matter of months. The Syrians could be going back to Syria, and we could end up with peace in the Middle East. If Clinton gets in, not only can we end up being at war with Syria, but we could end up being at war with Russia, and Europe would be dragged into that as well through being allied with America. I mean, I thought this as well when Obama came over when we had our Brexit vote, and Obama was saying, well, you're going to go to the back of the queue if you vote to leave the EU. I thought, well, not if Donald Trump gets in. Donald Trump arrives in Scotland and gives a great speech saying what a fantastic vote this is. The British people have voted for sovereignty. They voted for independence. You think if he gets voted in, he's going to send Britain to the back of the queue? No, he isn't. Totally different from what the current administration is saying. Clinton is just going to be even worse than the Obama administration.
I believe Donald Trump. I really do believe it.
Poles apart, isn't it? So different. It's the exact opposite direction. We've just got to hope that enough people think like us.
Well, on all accounts, all she has to do is win Florida, and I think she wins the presidency on this weird rig system that they got over there. I mean, Trump has to win like Iowa and another one and Florida, and they're either neck and neck, or if Trump is in front in these states at the moment. But all she has to do really is win Florida, and she's got it, which isn't, you know, isn't good, because that's the same thing what happened with Bush, if you remember, with Gore. The Florida vote was crucial.
So it's not you know, the whole of the United States, they count all the votes up. It's they count all the votes up in each state and to see who wins in each state, and then count the states up to see who wins overall. Is that the system?
Yeah, I think, yeah, and there's some states more important than others. But that's what I learned from the other night, that it's that close anyway, you know, it is neck and neck. And I don't really think that the polls are even right with that. I think Trump is ahead with the popular vote himself, but, you know, as you know, votes can be rigged anyway.
So we've done the taxes then, and we've looked at the economy. They brought up immigration. Was there any other subjects?
Discussed? Climate change. I agree with Trump. He doesn't accept that the scientific evidence for climate change is real, and I covered that in Comments by the Back Door, where that's just a ploy just to get all the energy and put the prices up for the New World Order. That, it's my opinion as well. She's all for climate change, which she would be, obviously. Let's see what else is. Criminal justice. Trump wants to restore voting rights for ex-felons. Wants to mandate the death penalty for convicted cop killers. Believes the country's crime rates are out of control. And supports prison privatisation. She believes ex-felons should be allowed to vote. Supports limited use on the death penalty for heinous crimes. Says crime is at a historic low. Which he gets that from, I'll never know, and wants to end the use of private prisons for federal inmates. So nothing surprising there, to be honest, but gun control was another one. She didn't exactly come out and say what we all know she's going to do. She talked about the assault weapons ban and the background checks. Which are stringent background checks they're going to bring in. And obviously, Trump is completely opposite, doesn't want any guns taken off anybody apart from criminals, which is a fair point.
Well, I think just to roll back to the climate change thing, I think that's just an excuse for more internationalism, isn't it? It's an excuse to get all these countries signed up to obeying one source, and that source is given them by the banks, and what they'll do is raise up the taxes and the ability to use industry in the West, and then they'll lower the taxes and make it easier to use industry in the third world, so that they can then have more industry in the third world and pay the cheaper wages. You know, that's the source of a lot of this climate change stuff. It's so that bankers and industries can move to the third world. Now, those crime figures as well, Dennis, they keep doing that. They keep saying crime is at an all-time low. What that is reported crime or acted upon crime. Like in Germany, they're just not investigating crimes that have been committed by immigrants. In Britain, they're saying they'll only investigate a burglary if it happens on an odd number on a street. So it's every other report of a burglary gets investigated. And in a lot of areas, they've just given up even taking reports on certain crimes, on writing them down. They'll take a report, but they won't actually take a note of it. They won't investigate it. So of course, the crime figures have gone down if you look at that. If you look at violent crime, that's gone up incredibly. Just in the month of August, there were over 1,700 stabbings in London of youths under the age of 25.
Really?
1,700, just in one city.
Yeah.
Now, well, in the whole year, in the whole year, in the whole country, in all the years from 1900 up to 1950, the maximum was about 300, and it fluctuated from between 100 and 300 people that were seriously wounded So that wasn't just stabbings. That was all serious wounding. And then in 1950, it suddenly jumped up to 1,000. And then ever since then, it's been increasing exponentially. And of course, in 1950, that was the first year that we had started being filled up with immigrants. 1948, the Windrush arrived. So when they did these figures in 1950, that would have been the figures for the year before. So the year when all the immigrants arrived, the serious wounding trebled. And ever since then, it's been increasing so much that 1,700 just in 1 month alone stabbed under the age of 25. And you can put that down gangs, directly to diversity, can't you?
Immigrant gangs, yeah.
It's our strength, Dennis. It's our strength, you know. All you have to do is look at what's happening in Charlotte to see what's happening there. Clinton said this as well. She said diversity is our strength.
The other day.
Choked
on that one.
I watch her when she's on the news and she just repeats these buzzwords that she's been told to say by the think tanks.
Well, she's been heavily funded as well, because even Trump had a go at her for all the advertising. I mean, far more than what he spent, you know, and it's just all been negative advertising on Trump. So he had a go at her for that, but again, she just, you know, laughed it off.
Sheldon Adelson promised him millions because he was the presidential candidate for the Republican Party, and all he ended up giving him, I think, was 5 million. He promised him 100 million.
Really?
So people say that he's a shill for the Jews. And he's the Jews certainly aren't backing him. I mean, he's only given him that because he's the Republican hopeful.
Yeah. Well, she's obviously got Saudi Arabia. She's got other outside interest that she wants to keep happy as well. So they're funding her well and truly.
Just to take it back to the technical aspect of the actual debate, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that Hillary looks like she has a wire and a backpack fitted into the back of her dress.
Yeah, she had an earpiece the other week, didn't she?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's quite common. If you watch these live TV shows, they all have earpieces and they all have a battery pack that goes to the earpiece. And of course, if you're female, then it's far more likely to show because they wear tighter fitting clothing.
Well, she doesn't know. She wears, like, tents.
Yeah. Maternity outfits.
Yeah, radio station under that.
Well, yeah, the other thing, this is another thing. When he brought up the fact that she didn't have the stamina, he said, I don't think you have the stamina.
Well, that would be kind.
She said she's ill.
She's sick.
Well, she said, I've been to 126 countries. I've done this. I've done that. And I thought, well, you're now giving all the reasons why you will not have the stamina to be the president. I mean, she's coming on to 70. If she's done all that in the past 6 months, it's no wonder she's collapsing. And it's not going to get any better when you get to that age. She's burnt herself out. And when he says you've got no stamina, he should have really gone in there and said, well, you're just listing off all the reasons why you're going to be unable to do it.
This is what I'm talking about. I mean, the fact, he never mentioned the fact that she's all of the week, never mentioned the fact that, you know, she hiccups for 4 bloody minutes and coughing phlegm into. I mean, just, you've got to take the gloves off with her. It really has.
A woman can't do a man's job. I mean, they can make an attempt at it, but they've only got 2/3 of our strength. And they're only going to have 2/3 of our stamina. And if she's got to the age of 70 and she's done a man's job for the last 30 years, she just listed off all the things she's done in the last 6 months. You think of all that mental stress, all the physical strain of going, moving to all those different countries. She's probably added 20 years to her life through doing that. It's not like she's got 20 years extra worth of wisdom. It's 20 years taken off her life to where, but when she finally goes fully senile. I do think she's got signs of early onset senility.
Yeah, well, she's definitely got a problem, and they're propping her up as best they can. It's just like you just said, he could have weighed in there, but he just kicked gloves on again. I mean, that's the kindest thing of anything he could say. He's lacking in stamina for what she's been through. She's a walking corpse.
Well, maybe he's, maybe it's the chivalrous aspect of not wanting to attack a woman. Maybe this is coming.
Well, yeah, but it didn't work because she'll attack him. That's the problem.
Well, you should be thinking that, you know, she's all for equality. That means treating
people. Well, if she wants to be commander-in-chief of the most powerful nation on Earth, you've got to attack her. And she's got to be capable of sustaining an attack.
I think she would be so wicked if she actually gets in there as president. She'll be taking out all these personal vendettas. She'll be carrying them out. All the little personal vendettas she's built up over the years, all her little pet hates, promoting all the things that promote women over men, make out that women are victims.
Well, I put a photograph of her daughter on Facebook the other week, and I said, like, you know, the saying is that the apples don't fall far from the tree. And her daughter openly wore an upside down cross. Now, an upside down cross, for those people who don't know, is either one or two things. It's either St. Peter's cross for the Catholic Church, or it's a Luciferian upside down cross as an insult to Christ. And I know which one it is we are. I mean, her daughter's blatantly a Satanist. And I know that her parents are as well. So as we were talking right at the beginning, she has Lucifer on her side for sure. But, you know, she's just not being exposed for me. That was the big disappointment anyway. The fact that she stood there with all her criminal records and her corruptions and just stood there and instead of being attacked, just dished it out on Trump, and Trump stood there and just defended what she called him.
I think the daughter's revolting. I mean, she really is the fish-faced feminist archetype when you look at
the
daughter.
Yeah, she married one of Goldman Sachs and Orange. I think they're divorced now, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. But no. You can tell it's Clinton's daughter. Got this evil look to her. And Trump even backed out, I think, of having Bill Clinton's ex-mistress there. His ex-mistress was going to be there in the front row, staring out Hillary Clinton.
Well, she's had a lesbian affair, I believe, as well.
Well, that's what people say, that she's a lesbian. They well believe it.
I certainly can believe it.
And what was it he was saying about something that she was saying behind a blue screen, that she was tearing somebody off a strip or something?
No, I couldn't tell you on that score. I think I can remember him saying it, but I can't remember much about what it was.
But she does come across as if it's all put on, it's all acting, you know, as if she's talking through a strained smile. She has this plastic smile that's drawn onto her face. And just if you knew nothing at all about her and you just looked at her physique and the way that, and her actions and her mannerisms, you would think this is one hell of a dishonest female.
Yeah, and a 70-year-old female like that as well, you know, so there's not many miles in her anyway, and especially with the health problems she's got. I just think that for some reason, you know, he stopped doing what he'd done to get him into that position. I mean, if that were Ted Cruz, he would have tore into him. I know he would have done.
Well, maybe he's been advised that he's already got the people that like him on side. He's already got us on side. He's got a large portion of the electorate that are already supporting him, and now they think that he wants to concentrate on winning over the other side of the electorate, the side of the electorate that supports Clinton that doesn't warm so much to the outright attacks. Maybe this is the game that he's playing.
Well, that could well be, but if he ends up losing the debate like he did the other night, you've got to say that's not the right tactic.
Well, you say he lost the debate. I've seen polls that have been taken that suggest that he won the debate. Apparently,
take on it, but I mean, it may well be others. But, you know, I just felt that the Donald Trump that I was expecting didn't turn up, apart from the opening, maybe first, you know, 20 minutes.
just to take us back to the actual setting up of the debate itself, one thing I also noticed at the end, now I thought this was a bit strange, maybe you can expand upon this, but right at the end, when it finished, he turned around to leave the stage and she walked down to the front to greet people as if all the applause was for her.
Yeah, it's like an act who's finished the last song and gone to get her.
Did Trump go to the front, or was it just Clinton that went to the front?
Well, I think Clinton got there first, shook the hand of the guy who was giving him the questions as well. I think they both shook initially, but I think it was Clinton who was going as if it was the end of her concert type of thing, shaking hands with all the fans type of thing.
David Cameron did this at the debates that we had over here in Britain for prime ministerial debates before he even became prime minister. And he went down, and this was actually against the rules of the debate. The rules of the debate were that when it finished, everybody had to leave the stage. And he went down to the front and started shaking people's hands as if all the applause was for him. Which leaves the imprint in the people's minds watching that's the person that's won. Now, I'm wondering if there were any rules there saying, you know, that you shouldn't walk down to the front afterwards, or whether they suggested to her, you walk down to the front afterwards and we'll advise Donald to leave exit stage left.
Well, he didn't leave the stage yet, actually, but she was the one who was making the first moves, which to me is what went on all the way through the debate. Obviously, his family came on stage, his daughters and his sons gathered around him. Then Bill Clinton turned up on stage as well. But she was like, I agree with what you're saying, she was kind of milking, the shots that people kind of imagine were looking at the winner type of thing.
Yeah, like the front man of the rock band that shakes hands with the people at the front at the end of the concert.
Correct.
Grabs people's hands, glad handing, I think that's they call
right.
it.
Yeah. But I mean, they're all training these techniques, aren't they? So it doesn't surprise me. But like I said, it was too gracious. I mean, he even shook hands with her and then kind of give her a little slap on the back. I mean, you know, you're talking about fighting for the presidency and changing the whole of history here. I don't know. It just weren't right for me.
Well, you've got to be polite. You shake hands with your opponent and agree to keep it polite. But I just wonder if this was a sneaky move, you know, that he wasn't aware of, that this going down to the front. Like you say, Clinton is all trained in how to deal with crowds and appeal to people, and maybe Donald isn't. And maybe there weren't any rules at the end of it. Maybe they told her to go to the front and told him to go to the side, or maybe there were no rules at all, and she thought, aha, I'll go straight down to the front and start shaking the people's hands.
Well, there's no doubt about Donald Trump. He had 10 years of television, and that made him a star in America. But that's still not being a politician. I mean, you know, when you're going on in the backyard if you're in a political debate, then, and there's only one politician really what's there, then you're going into the backyard of that politician. So it wasn't surprising that, you know, she kind of dominated in parts because she's a politician and she's a cultured politician, let's be honest. But at the end of the day, he's got to change his tactics. He really has.
Well, there's also this birther issue that they brought up that was really good of Donald Trump to keep hammering this, that Obama wasn't an American, no proof that he was an American. And then what he did, he brought out...
Even now he's American, because I'm not convinced that's a forged birth certificate. But
well, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. What he did, he brought out a birth certificate, or what looked like a birth certificate, but as soon as you actually looked at it, you could see that it was a forgery, and it was quite a blatant forgery as well. It wasn't as if they'd even tried to make it look like a good one. It was a total forgery. So why didn't Donald Trump say, yes, but that may have looked like a birth certificate, but it clearly wasn't a genuine one? Because it wasn't, as far as I'm aware. He hasn't been proved to be born in America at all.
No, he hasn't, no.
Might as well get a notepad and write Born in America on it has come out with that useless piece of paper that he came up with.
Well, there's a lot of things about Obama, I think, which has been hidden. I mean, he's obviously come from nowhere. He says he comes from Hawaii, but other people have said they met him in, they knew him in Africa. There's obviously been several people claiming to have gay affairs with him, and he is known to be gay, and his wife even a transvestite. So, there's a lot of things hidden behind Obama. Polished politician, used him in the right way because gathered all the black votes. But really, have blacks really improved the standard of living under Obama? No. So really, he's just been another shill.
He's just been another puppet. I think it's been a way of the bankers and the Jews and the people that control the United States administration to say, well, we have so much power and control that we could even put a Negro puppet in charge and it wouldn't make any difference. Because that's pretty much what they've done.
I agree.
They've got a Negro puppet up there that can read an auto cue. I mean, that's a talent enough in a Negro, being able to read. But being able to read that.
I know. Glassman's black. He's the whitest black one I've ever seen.
Well, this is just it. I mean, if he had actually been a proper, fully black Negro, then they wouldn't have been able to pass him off as competent enough to actually be president. It's only because he's got some white genes in there that he's got that ability to read the auto cue. But it hasn't stopped the Kenyans from claiming him as their own. They say he's Kenyan. President of the United States.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
They have statues of him that they worship, like an idol. You seen that? Wooden statues of Obama that they place offerings in front of. Yeah, he's their god. Yes. Their man that got made president.
Well, his father was a communist. So that never helped his cause, really.
His wife was a stripper. We've all seen the pictures. His mother, rather, was a stripper. We've all seen the pictures of his mother for glamour magazines, and pictures of him smoking a joint. He's involved with these black radical communists. Basically, it's a way of saying we control so much, we can put anyone we like in the position of a president. You think back, Dennis, to when that happened, and then contrast that with now, when they thought they could do the same and make sure that we voted for Clinton. And just look at how the world has changed, that Donald Trump has been able to get in there. Massive change.
It's definitely changed. But the point being is that Obama, when he ran against Clinton, abused her at the time. And now all of a sudden, he backs her, but yourself that Obama ran campaigns adverts just showing what Clinton were. So how we can now defend her and say she's fit for president is beyond me.
Well, it shows you how shallow they are, but it really shows you that the Jewish stranglehold on the media and on public opinion has been broken. It's been broken over here as well. I mean, this call for the leadership of the Labour Party with Jeremy Corbyn. The Jewish media and the Jews thought that they would be able to convince people to vote for somebody else with their media. And they failed. And Jeremy Corbyn got voted in again with 2% more this time. And they were so certain of themselves, they called for a leadership challenge and then lost it.
I agree. But I don't think he was ever going to get beat. Because he had that groundswell support from not all that long ago, but all the media and all the propaganda was making out like that. He'd have a chance of losing.
Well, I think that bodes well for Donald Trump, because it says that the media just does not have the control over people that it once had.
No, it doesn't. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the Jews totally run America now. I think America is a complete Jewish colony. But you're right about the major people, the actual people, the public are seeing through it now. But there's a lot they can do about actual control itself,
We go to the internet now. So many of us have now got the internet in our homes and we can just type stuff into a search engine and find out all the different viewpoints on things. So I think this is what's really helped is the growth Without of the doubt. New media, growth of the alternative media.
I'll give you a prime example. There's a trailer out on YouTube I noticed last night, actually. You know the film of David Irving, the trial?
Yes.
The Holocaust trial. Yeah, and I looked at the likes and dislikes, and there was something in the region of 4,000 likes and 3,000 dislikes. Now, that's unheard of in my eyes. Once over, that would never been that many. I think there's been a huge awakening about the Holocaust as well.
Well, that's a good time, I think, to remind people that Eric Hunter's got two new videos out deconstructing that David Irving movie, the denial movie. I think there's going to be more chapters as well. He's looking for some donations to help him produce the next few. I believe one of his donors has pulled out. But that's Eric Hunt, who did the last days of the big lie. The Maidanic gas chamber myth. It runs the holocausthoax.com, I think, something like that. It's to do with the Holocaust handbooks anyway, but he's got two new videos out, which I would recommend people or listeners watch. And it's about time we gave out the websites for yourself, Dennis, because we're coming to the end of the show, I think. Do you want to let the listeners know where they can find your work before we finish?
Yeah, well, we've got the Dennis Wise Facebook, we've got Dennis Wise YouTube channel, and we've also got The Greatest Story Never Told and Communism by the Backdoor. Greatest Story Never Told.tv, Communism by the Backdoor.tv. And all the videos are free, but obviously, there's a lot of people who still want to buy them, which is great.
And you've also got your Facebook page and your Twitter page. I think your Twitter is managed by somebody else, but he does a fantastic job of it, Dennis.
Yeah, it's the people on the website. I can't handle everything, you know what I mean?
He's sending out tweets all the time. Every day I look in my feed and there's dozens of tweets from your Twitter man sending out memes and reminding people to promote Adolf Hitler, Greatest Story Never Told. He does do a great job. And so do you. So do you, producing these documentaries. And so do our listeners tuning in to us every week. Thank you very much for coming on, Dennis. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. And we'll be back next Friday with another edition of Truth Without Radio. And this time, hopefully, with Messerschmitt. Have a great weekend.
To Radio Aryan.